Stavanger said. They're separating themselves from us, isolating themselves. If they continue along the path they're following now, the human race will split into two subspecies, those who live off Earth and those who remain on Earth. Stoner understood the consequences. Earth will sink into poverty and ignorance if they don't blow themselves to hell first. They're building nuclear weapons again, Stavanger agreed. A nuclear war could kill them all, Stoner said. It could scour Earth clean of all life. No, Stavanger said. Not everything, not everything, Stoner insisted. I've seen it before. What? I've seen worlds that destroyed themselves. Civilizations that blew themselves apart. Intelligent species that died because they outproduced their natural resources. Planet after planet, world after world. They kill themselves one way or another. Intelligence is very clever about finding ways to commit suicide. And you think that's what we're going to do? That's where you're heading. Extinction, Stavanger muttered. But you can survive here on the moon. You're already dug in. Even if they throw missiles at you, you can shoot them down before they get here. But could we survive without Earth? Stavanger asked. Our economy depends on exporting clipper ships and glass steel to Earth. And we import biological products, plant products for pharmaceuticals, feedstock to replenish our hydroponics farms. Stoner asked, Can your gene pool survive without fresh inputs from Earth? Stavanger hesitated, then replied, I don't know, his voice low, almost frightened. Neither do I. You've got almost 100,000 people living in your various lunar communities. A few thousand miners and prospectors scattered through the asteroid belt. A few hundred scientists on Mars. Construction teams at Mercury. Research stations around Venus and Jupiter. And the habitat at Saturn, Stavanger added. 10,000 people there. Is it enough? If Earth self-destructs, will that be enough to keep the human race going? It was during the Stone Age, Stavanger said. The human race was only a handful of people then. But they had the whole planet available to them. Stavanger looked into Stoner's eyes. You really think they'll kill everything, down to the bacteria? Stoner nodded. It'll be billions of years before complex life forms evolve again. Even at that, there's no guarantee that intelligence will arise again. Maybe it'd be better if it doesn't. No, I can't believe that. Stoner shrugged. The question is, can the human race survive if Earth is sterilized? Are your communities here on the moon and elsewhere in the solar system enough to sustain the species? If they aren't, Stoner grunted, if they aren't, then the human race joins all those others in extinction. Extinction, Stavanger repeated. Extinction is the natural fate of species, Stoner said, as if reciting a school lesson. Most species live for a couple of million years and then disappear or evolve into something new. Humankind isn't even a million years old, Stavanger said. Not Homo sapiens, at least. Our species only appeared a few hundred thousand years ago at most. Maybe we'll break the universe's speed record for self-annihilation, said Stoner with a bitter grimace. We could emigrate to the stars, Stavanger said, brightening. We could move out of the solar system altogether. There are other Earth-like planets out there. True enough, said Stoner. It would be costly, though. Enormously expensive. How many could afford to emigrate? Enough to preserve the species? Maybe. With your help, Stavanger brightened a little. That's why you've come back, isn't it? No, said Stoner. No? But then, why? Stoner looked up at the wall screen view of Earth hanging above the barren surface of the moon. Earth, shining blue oceans and swaths of glowing white clouds sweeping across it. There's more than 12 billion people living there. I don't intend to write them off. They deserve better. We've got to do what we can to save them.
You can't. Nobody can, Stavanger insisted.
But we've got to try, said Stoner.
Why? Why bother?
Without an eye-blink's hesitation, Stoner replied, Because life is precious. Because intelligence is the rarest gift in the universe.
And where does it lead?
That depends.
Depends? Depends on what? on what we do. Stavanger stared at Stoner for a long, wordless moment. Or what we fail to do, Stoner added. At last Stavanger nodded. I see. I think I understand. I suppose you're right. We've got to try, don't we?
Yes.
Sitting up straighter, his fists resting on his thighs, Stavanger asked, So what do we do? What can we do?
We've got to stop this war before it begins.
How?
I'm going to see the head of the New Morality Movement. They seem to have control of the United States government.
Nodding, Stavanger said, There's the Islamic leaders, too. They're not as cohesive as the Western nations. You'll have to deal with Shiites and Sunnis and other sects.
And the Chinese, Stoner added.
Stavanger broke into a rueful grin. Now there it's much easier. Ling Po is not only chairman of China's National Assembly, he's also head of the New Dao movement. He's got all the reins of authority in his chubby little fists.
And they're building nuclear weapons too, aren't they?
In an industrial complex in western Xinjiang province. It's a pretty remote area. Stavanger pursed his lips, then added, Our intelligence people believe that the American military has recommended hitting their center with a missile attack.
Nuclear?
The recommendation is on the president's desk.
That means that the Americans already have operational nuclear warheads, Stoner said.
Nodding, And missiles.
I'll have to disable them.
Stavanger's brows hiked up. Disable their warheads? How?
It can be done, Stoner said, but only as a last resort.
What do you mean?
His face grim, Stoner said, I could make those warheads malfunction, but what good does that do? I can't spend the rest of my life acting as some sort of fairy godfather, protecting the world from its own lunacy.
Stavanger, who had spent most of his life living on the moon, smiled slightly at the word lunacy.
What we need to do is to change the mindsets of the people who launch those missiles, Stoner said. The machines aren't to blame for the disaster that's coming. The people who launch them are.
You've got to get the leaders to change their minds, Stavanger mused.
That's easy. I can convince individuals to do pretty much what I want them to, so long as it's not self-destructive.
What of it?
I convince a person to refuse to launch a missile attack. Once he or she is no longer in command, I'd have to convince the next one in power.
Endless, Stavanger murmured.
I see. We've got to change the mindsets of all the people, everywhere. Turn them against war, against violence. Show them the way to lasting peace.
My God, Stavanger said, seeing where Stoner was heading. You're talking about starting a new religion.
Stoner nodded reluctantly.
He could see in Stavanger's mind an image of the crucified Christ.
That's what happens to men who start new religions, he thought.
Chapter 11 Raul Tavalera had spent more than an hour talking with Holly Lane. In real time. Despite the billion-plus kilometers between Atlanta and the Goddard habitat, he and Holly chattered away as if they were in the same room. All during their happy, warm conversation, a part of Tavalera's mind wondered at Stoner's ability to erase the time lag of normal communications. How does he do that? Tavalera wondered, realizing that instant communications could make life much easier for the various human settlements scattered across the solar system's planets and asteroids. In the wall screen of his apartment, Holly looked just as he remembered her, pert, full of energy, bright and smiling and altogether wonderful. He told her all that had happened to him since his return to Earth, especially about Stoner, the Star Voyager.
"But the government won't let you come back here?"
Holly had asked, her cheerful expression giving way to anger and concern.
"Not yet.
Maybe Stoner can pull it off," he said.
"I'll come back there and get you," said Holly,
stern determination etching her face.
"Nah," he replied. "I'll work it out. Something big is happening here. I can feel it. A guy who traveled to the stars. He's gonna bust this new morality wide open. Just you wait and see." "But I don't want to wait," Holly insisted. "I want you here. I want to be with you."
"That's what I want too, Holly. But something big is gonna happen here, and I'm gonna be part of it. Then I'll come back to you." She looked disappointed, hurt. But she said,
"Soon's my term in office is finished, I'm heading Earth.